The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Taxes show.
You know, sometimes Eric pretends to be interested in his guests,
but he's really just doing a crossword puzzle and rolling his eyes at what they say.
He told me never to say that, ever. But look, I made a mistake.
I'm human.
In my way.
Only I'm not.
And now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Wow, that scares me. Folks, this is the Eric Metaxas show, and every now and again, I have a guest that I'm really excited to meet in person. In the studio with me this minute is Sam Alberi. Sam, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
And
it's good
welcome
to be here.
To the studio. We've had you on before, but not in person. And I'm just glad you're here. Now, you do live in the UK.
I do, yeah.
And
yeah.
You're with Ravi Zacharias Ministries.
That's right, yeah.
And but you do travel a little bit, and you talk about human sexuality, and you have a book titled Is God Anti-Gay? We've talked about that on this program, but I don't imagine that everyone who listens to this program has listened to every previous program. So I would love to talk to you about your story, because there's so few stories like this that get told in the mainstream media. People think, I mean, we hear the propaganda constantly that if you have a flicker of same-sex attraction, you're gay and you better go with it. We never hear other stories, and your story is another story. And there's so many people I know, you know, they may not raise their hands and say, I'm one of these people struggling with this, but there's so many people struggling and things are so confusing right now. So I thought if you could tell your story, I'd be so grateful. So tell us what you can.
Yeah, sure. It's good to be back. And I think part of the reason for wanting to tell my story is to show that there are more than one type of narrative out there. I began to realize as a non-Christian teenager that I was attracted to boys and not girls. It took me a while to kind of recognize that and come to terms with that. And I was just applying to university and thinking, okay, when I get to university, I can run with this, I can explore it, I can join the, in those days it was LGB societies. But before getting to university, I came to Christ. Some friends had invited me to a youth ministry. I didn't think of a reason not to go quickly enough. Turned up, heard the gospel, realized that if I was the type of person Jesus says I was, then I needed the kind of savior he said that he is.
Now, where did you grow up? What part of the UK?
Kent. So it's in the most Kent. Southeasterly part, a little town called Sevenoaks.
And where were you going to university?
I headed off to another city called Chichester for university.
Chichester. I'm familiar with the Bishop of Chichester. Was Bishop Bell was the Bishop of Chichester.
That's right.
George Bell. He's part of the Bonhoeffer story.
That's right. And my hall of residence was named after Bishop George Bell.
Really? Okay, so you were headed off to Chichester, but before you could flee Chichesterward, you were encountered by the living God. And that's obviously not something you had planned on.
Not at all, no. As a teenager, I was pretty agnostic. Wasn't massively convinced either way about the question of God. I had a couple of good Christian friends that impressed me deeply. They just had an integrity to them that was quite unusual at that stage. So when they invited me to their church youth group, I thought, actually, I'll come along and find out what makes these guys tick, find out what it is that they believe. Not imagining that actually the person of Jesus Christ would encounter me.
Now, how did it happen in a supernatural way, or was it just one of those convictions in your heart?
It was a conviction in my heart, but it was so interesting because I turned up at that youth ministry thinking, I'm 17 years old, you guys better entertain me. And to my horror, a man, I think in his, he looked like about 1,000 years old to a 17-year-old who's probably 80, stood up and gave a talk. And his message was basically that Christianity is not God rewarding good people, it's God forgiving bad people. I had never heard that before. I had grown up with an image of Christianity that if you were well-behaved, then God liked you, and that was it. And in my mind, Jesus was a cross between Gandhi and one of the Bee Gees. He said ethical-sounding things. He had long hair and nice teeth.
And one of the Bee... Any Bee Gee in particular? Certainly not Robin Gibb. I think...
One of the twins.
It would have to be Barry Gibb.
Yes.
He looks the most like Jesus. So a cross between Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi, and Barry Gibb. All right, that sounds logical.
You could start a cult just with that.
Perfectly
logical.
Well,
that premise.
It would have the best music and the and the best diapers. Okay, so suddenly this grabs you.
Yeah.
And did you know right away that you didn't want to explore your same-sex attraction? Once you became a Christian, you thought, okay, did you think I have a problem now? What was going through your head?
What was going through my head was, I know I want to follow Jesus, and I had virtually no clue what that would mean or involve on this issue. I just knew that he died for me, that he'd risen again for me, that I could trust him. This is a man I could build my life upon. So I knew that he knew more than I did about the best way to live. I knew that he would do a much better job of leading me than I would. So my initial question was, okay, what does he say on this? And so in my early days as a Christian, I began to find out the Christian teaching on sex and marriage, what the Bible says, what Jesus himself says in the Gospels. And that to me from the very beginning always seemed very clear. It did not strike me as ambiguous. I didn't have any prior idea of what it was going to look like, but... it just, to me, made, okay, that's what Jesus says, then that's the way it goes. So I realized very quickly that I was going to be consistent in following Jesus, then it wouldn't be right for me to indulge those feelings or to physically act on them.
It's funny, when you have a real encounter with God, I did around my 25th birthday, and it was very similar for me. I was in a relationship with somebody. We'd been together a number of years, and of course... it would have a sexual component. That was just, nobody would even think about that not being the case. As soon as I accepted Jesus, I knew, that's it. But I was so wanting to follow him that it was unthinkable to me to disobey. I just thought, no, goodness, no.
Yeah.
I just felt, and I think that's the key, is that people need to encounter the reality of God. The reality of God is so much better than anything that we would want. And people don't believe that, but the point is that you're telling me it happened to you. I'm telling you and my audience it happened to me. It was an overwhelming thing. God is so real that to disobey him would be the height of insanity. It would just be absurd because there's nothing more beautiful than who he is.
Yeah.
And everything I've always longed for is in him. But it's interesting because I think if God is just an intellectual concept, that doesn't follow. You know, you have to have this actual encounter.
Yeah, and you have to taste his goodness. And I think this is part of what saddens me about the perceptions people have of the Christian faith.
Yeah.
Particularly on these issues, is they assume our message is just one of repression and denial and saying no. We're saying yes to something so much better, which is a life with Christ.
Well, that's the whole thing. And when you've discovered something so wonderful, you can't really shut up about it because it's so great and you know what it felt like to not have that or to not see that. So what did you do at this point? You're very young at that point. What did you do?
I was barely a few months into my Christian faith. I didn't know this was the sort of thing Christians were supposed to. You know, I thought I'm not allowed to have had these feelings, therefore I better not tell anyone. So it was actually a few years of just trying to wrestle with this and pursue holiness in silence. It was a very isolating experience. All my friends had prayer requests about not going too far with their girlfriends and all that kind of thing, and I was always the quiet one. And so people assumed I had no problems, that I was sort of the pious chap in the corner who had
feelings. I have no problems, obviously. Right, yeah.
So it was actually just about 5 or 6 years into my Christian faith when I heard a pastor first actually speak about homosexuality in a sermon. And he said, he just took a few moments and said, listen, this is going to be an issue for a number of us in the building. And if that's the case for you, we would love for you to feel able to share that with us. We want to support you, encourage you. We want you to know you're not on your own. And so for the first time, I felt I had permission to tell someone.
Isn't that beautiful? It's kind of like saying, hey, it's normal to be abnormal. Everybody is screwed up in some way. The only question is how. That's the only question, not whether, but how. And then once you settle that, you say, okay, Lord, help. And then he does. All right, we're going to be right back, folks. I'm talking to Sam Albury. We are talking about some important issues. Stick around. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. You got so much.
Are you more than $10,000 in debt? Feel like you're on a never-ending treadmill, staying in one place and never getting ahead with those minimum payments? You feel like there's no way out? Don't let the credit card companies bully you anymore. There are programs in place to help you get free of your debt, and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. The program at Total Financial Freedom can help you get debt-free in months instead of decades. Get off the debt treadmill and stop the harassment. Get free of credit card debt, signature loans, department store cards, internet loans, and medical bills. Call now at 866-844-7344 for free information. For about 10 years, Total Financial Freedom has helped thousands. They're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, too. Get off the endless cycle without having to declare bankruptcy. You'll have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Call Total Financial now at 866-844-7344. That's 866-844-7344.
You've wrestled with that issue for so long. You don't know who to talk to. You're too embarrassed to tell your friends or family what you're dealing with. You're even reluctant to talk to your pastor. I know. I was there too. But it got to a point that something had to change. And then I found Faithful Counseling. Faithful Counseling is a team of licensed Christian counselors who share your faith and will help you through your problem. They want to give you a free week just to try it out. You can begin a conversation when you're ready by text or phone, even video conferencing, from the comfort of your own home. And your first week is free. If it's not for you, you can cancel during your first week and not pay a dime. Why not give it a try? Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. Talk to someone who can help. Go right now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Let them help. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers, and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses. And right now, listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/America. That's ZipRecruiter.com/America. One more time. To try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/America.
Say
folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Hey, I got to tell you something. We're talking to Sam Olbrey, or Olbrey. Sam, you say Olbrey, and when somebody says Olbrey, it's my inclination to say Olbrey. But we would say Olbrey, I guess. But Olbrey, it just sounds like Huckleberry or something. So we'll say Olbrey. Sam Olbrey, A-L-L-B-E-R-R-Y. You have a book out called Is God Anti-Gay? We're talking about this now, and you're talking about this moment in your life when you you heard someone, I guess what were you saying? You were in your early 20s when you heard a sermon.
Yes.
Was it a sermon or was it
yep,
a sermon?
It was a sermon on Romans chapter 1.
And so what happened at that point?
Well, that was the time when I first realized, huh, okay, it's okay to say that this has been an issue that I've wrestled with. So I felt like I had permission for the first time to say this is an issue for me. So I met up with the pastor, slightly in fear and trembling, said to him, I'm really struggling with homosexuality, braced myself for the sky to fall and for, you know, the parousia to happen. And he was just a very gentle, kind pastor whose very first words were, thank you. And he said, that sounds like that was a hard thing to share. I'm really grateful that you shared it with me. Which immediately made me feel like, okay, this was a good thing to do. And he just asked me a few gentle questions. He said, how long has this been an issue? What have been the ups and downs for you? And he knew that I knew what the Bible said. I didn't need to be reminded of that. I just needed someone to know about it, to encourage me, to keep pointing me to Christ on it, which was such a turning point. It was a wonderful blessing.
Well, part of the problem, of course, in today's culture is that we live in a deeply sick, hypersexualized culture. In other words, in the past, the idea that somebody would effectively, practically speaking, be asexual. In other words, you'd have a desire for this or that. It didn't matter, but you'd be a bachelor or you'd be a woman who didn't get. But we live in a culture now that's so suffused with sexuality to the point of real illness, I would say, that we seem to force this idea on people that you've got to express yourself sexually, which is complete nonsense. And of course, it comes right out of Freud. I mean, how many bad ideas and how many lives have been ruined by Freud? But this idea that if you repress your sexuality, even the term repress, it's like asking the question, you know, are you still beating your wife? I mean, as soon as you use the word repress, you're already implying that it's something that must not be repressed. It must be expressed, which is complete nonsense.
But
people mostly buy into this, that I've got to be sexual. I've got to express my sexuality in all kinds of ways, in any way, which is simply not true.
And it all flows from a very false idea of identity. So this idea that I am my sexuality, if that is the case, then I have to fulfill my sexuality to be who I am.
Right.
I can't have an authentic, fulfilled, healthy life unless I'm pursuing sexual fulfillment. And of course, the thing that most gives the lie to that is the life of the Lord Jesus. And, you know, he was celibate, he was single, despite certain novels he didn't marry. And so the moment we say that you need to be sexually fulfilled to be a whole person, we are diminishing the humanity of Jesus. And last time I checked, that wasn't a good theological move to make.
No. Well, it's funny because people are so parochial in their views. They only see things through the lens of the now, and they forget that historically speaking, there has been every kind of society where sexuality has been treated as so holy, even non-Christian societies, that to think of sex outside of marriage was anathema, was a horror. No way. Sex was part of marriage. It's the most physical, beautiful part, but it is part of marriage. You can't even divorce it from you know, it's like talking about taste and saying, but I don't believe in food, you know.
Yeah.
And you think, no, that's it's all integrated. It's supposed to be part of the same thing. And we've stripped it out and we've made it its own thing, and nobody questions that. And how ridiculous to not question something that's been so central to much of humanity throughout the centuries.
And people will mistakenly assume that it must mean we're down on sex, when the opposite is in fact true. It's that we, as you said, we've got a very high view of it. It's a precious thing. It needs to be stewarded extremely well and extremely carefully.
It is interesting because when you think of it, the idea that God has created us male and female, and anybody listening at home, yeah, that's what he did, male and female, And he did it on purpose because we reflect him in our maleness and femaleness. We reflect God.
Yeah.
And he did this on purpose. And then when a male and a female are united in marriage, physically, emotionally, on every level, life is generated. I mean, it's this amazing thing. It's the kind of thing. It's like an epic poem. It's so beautiful and so multi-layered and so on and so forth. And we have, of course, completely destroyed that idea. Yeah. And we've broken it down to the components, to the digital bits.
Yeah.
And we basically say, no, that's not true. You're just an animal and you're an animal. And then you have this ecstatic experience and it feels good and it has no meaning. And you think, okay, well, then why has humanity since the beginning of human history said not only does it have meaning, but it's the greatest meaning? We build our entire cultures around this. There's something so spectacular about it. So when you first became a Christian, how did you think about this? In other words, did you want to spend time with other people who had same-sex attraction to talk to them about these difficulties, or were you more of a loner in that?
Well, I was a loner, but not really through choice. I just didn't know anyone else who wrestled with it. I assumed I was the only one, that there was something that was so fundamentally wrong with me that no one else seemed to have a problem with. It was only some time later that I began to hear that this was an issue other believers had wrestled with personally as well. And actually, that then became a huge comfort, just because you sort of realize, actually, I'm not the only one, and there are other people who've trod this path. There's wisdom to be learned from them, a sense of understanding. So that was a huge deal then, to get to know others.
It's interesting. We've had a number of times on this program Rosaria Butterfield. What a beautiful name. I just love that.
Beautiful person.
Isn't she?
She's a dear friend of mine,
Well, I probably should have remembered that, but we've had her on this program, and she is such a beautiful person. And that name, Rosaria Champagne Butterfield, it gets even worse. Champagne Butterfield. But she was talking about how we sometimes Christians have this idea that you become a Christian and then you're supposed to be healed of your same-sex attraction. And really, what she says, and I think you've said on this program too, that no, what you're supposed to do is give your life to Christ. It's not about becoming heterosexual, because you can be a heterosexual sinner. It's about having your whole being redeemed through him. And the issue of the sexual attraction or whatever, it's really a secondary issue.
It is. And my greatest longing, I'll be honest, there are times I would love to be married. I'd love to be a husband. I'd love to be a dad. That would just be wonderful.
Mm.
There are times when I long for that, but actually my greatest desire is to be more like Jesus. If I can become more like Jesus by his grace, that is the win for me.
It's interesting too, because as we're talking, there's such a variety. We're often forced to think along these narrow lines that being gay means this, or having same-sex attraction. If you have the tiniest flicker of same-sex attraction, it means you need to express yourself in that way. And there's such a variety. There's some people that knew from the age of four that they had same-sex attraction, and there are other people that maybe they had maybe they were assaulted at a young age and something changed. I mean, there's all kinds of ways. Sexuality is so complicated.
It is.
And so the idea that there's one answer, I mean, I know people, I have a very, very dear friend who was in the gay lifestyle, and then he accepted Jesus and got married. Now he has kids or whatever. And that happens routinely. It happens routinely. People would have told him when he was younger, no, you've got to go in this direction. And somehow he went in the absolute opposite direction. He's this, happy father and so on and so forth. And yet there are many cases like yours where it doesn't happen that way. And I think people need to be comfortable and say, I don't have to do anything.
That's the thing. Someone I meet, younger believers who say this is an issue for them, my message is don't presume you won't get married, and don't presume you will. Because the Lord knows what's going to be best for you. Either way, you'll get his goodness, either through the gift of marriage or through the gift of singleness.
Right. And I say this, also to my female friends who aren't married, who are they're attracted to men, but you don't know. Men and women don't know. It doesn't matter what your attraction is, whether you'll be married or you won't. These are complicated things, but to know that God loves you, he hasn't forgotten you.
Yeah.
If you don't achieve, this goal of being married and having kids and stuff, we need to be comfortable with that, and we need to focus on Jesus first and foremost. But We're going to be right back, folks. I'm talking to Sam Albury. The book is, I have it in front of me, Is God Anti-Gay? We'll be right back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Stick around.
Stop playing cards and shooting dice. He's in the jailhouse now.
Think about the time and money your business spends to attract the best talent. What if it was your office that attracted employees? Today's workforce wants an office that's as mobile and active as they are. Varidesk Standing Desk Solutions help you create an active workspace where employees are happier, healthier, and more productive. Varidesk products require little to no assembly, ship for free, and come with a 30-day risk-free guarantee. Browse all Varidesk products at varidesk.com/radio. That's varidesk.com/radio.
Are you a responsible person who finds yourself growing deeper in credit card debt? Then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity Debt Management will consolidate your accounts and work with your creditors. You'll save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976.
And not to mention the shedding, I would vacuum the carpet 3 times a week. Frodo was scratching all night long, bouncing on the side of the bed, keeping me awake the whole entire night from all the scratching and chewing. It kind of makes you neurotic.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy?
Mounds and mounds of fur all over the place.
Come to Dynavite for help.
Dinovite.com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
Dynavite is nutrition.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
Our vitamins and enzymes replace the nutrients cooked out of most commercial dog foods.
He gobbles it up. He's not up all night scratching. His shedding is minimal, and it is such a pleasure to have my calm, relaxed, non-shedding puppy back. And I have to thank Dynovite for that.
Don't let your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy.
Come to Dynovite for help.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite.com.
Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late. All the sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you to pray. They built a true temple and locked you away. Ah, but they never told you the price that you pay. The things that you might have done.
Hey there, folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. And yeah, we're putting on a show. I'm in show business. Hey, Ma, I'm in show business. I'm sitting here talking to Sam Albury. Sam Albury. Sam, you are the author of a book. We've talked about this on the air. It's called Is God Anti-Gay? Why don't we deal with that question? I mean, you've written a book. I hope people will get the book. But what do you have to say on that subject in that book?
My basic point is if there's no hope for gay people, there's no hope for anyone. Because we're all broken. We're all fallen. Even in the one area of sexuality, none of us is everything we should be. And as you were saying earlier, the flavor of fallenness that each of us will have will vary from person to person. But it's the same gospel for all of us, repentance and faith. And so to follow Jesus in this area of life, all of us are going to have to say no to certain sexual desires. All of us are going to have to repent of certain things. All of us are going to find that there's a cost to discipleship. And yet all of us discover that Jesus is so worth any cost. And so although society will say we're missing out on the best life has to offer, we know better than that. We're getting the best thing that there is to have.
And, you know, let's be honest, there's nothing more pernicious than the lie that we can find fulfillment sexually.
Oh, I mean,
how many people, how many old queens in bars are sitting there wondering, what have I done with my life? Nobody wants to pay attention to me anymore. I mean, the idea that sexual libertinism or license or anything, how many men have pursued this with women their whole lives? Yeah. And where do you end up? when this is what you have pursued. It's absolutely horrific. It's like a gambler or a drug addict. It destroys you ultimately.
It does. And one of the accusations we receive is that, you know, we're causing young gay people to self-harm and commit suicide. I want to suggest it's a culture that makes sexual fulfillment the be-all and end-all, actually, that is causing this damage. Because if you say to someone, this is what your life is about, and then if that doesn't all come together, then you're feeling as though you've got nothing left now.
Right.
And so it's a short step from saying you are your sexuality to someone hearing that a life without sexual fulfillment isn't worth living.
Right.
And so it's a worldview that has a death toll.
Oh, it's so sick. I mean, as I say, I know so many wonderful people, single people, and they're just the most vibrant, tremendous people I know. The idea that sexuality is this great thing. I mean, if you put it in perspective, if you're married, obviously God wants that to be a part of a marriage. But we really do live, I said this earlier, in a really profoundly sick culture. It's very, very sick. And we're seeing the fruit of it now. I mean, you see so many kids who are very upset their parents got divorced because the father had an affair and he decides to go his way. And you see decades of this kind of thinking. And we're just beginning, to see that it does not lead to happiness. You can do it all you want. And at the end of the day, what do you have? I mean, you can lie to yourself and say it's been great, but that's not the meaning of life.
It isn't, but it's meant to point to it. So one of the beautiful things about the Bible is that human marriage is meant to be a picture of the relationship we have with Christ.
Yeah.
And so it's meant to, not meant to fulfill you in itself,
right.
It's meant to point to the thing that will fulfill you.
It is interesting because I've spoken about that on this program many times, and I think you can't say it enough, that's what's so beautiful is that when people say, well, what is marriage? It's just two people getting together. They love each other. They like each other. They fulfill each other. And you say, well, no. Marriage is a picture of God's union with his bride, the church. I mean, it's this glorious, transcendent image that we are allowed to participate in. And that's what it is. And so the idea that it's just two people,
just a piece of paper, kind of
spending some time together and sharing some stuff, like, no, it's not the way it works. It's just like saying that every human being, we're created in God's image. And you think, really? Because if that's true, that's big. That's big.
And it means for those of us who are single, we're not missing out ultimately because we're married in Christ. For those who are unhappily married now, again, there's a better marriage that you're going to be part of in Christ. It just puts those earthly trials into a bit of a perspective.
Well, that's the thing, too. We're always encouraged that if you are married, you're supposed to find total fulfillment in your spouse, which is itself nonsense. Your spouse is a broken sinner just like you. And so if you're looking for your spouse to be like God, you're going to be disappointed. You have to look to God to be like God. But here's the good news. God is God. And you can look to him and he's there. And, you know, but I think that there's so many people that they're tempted to find everything in that marriage relationship. And you think, well, if you're looking for everything there, there's no way it's going to work out. You can't do that. You can't put that on your spouse, by the way.
It's a terrible burden to put on them. I heard a Christian man recently. He just got engaged to a wonderful Christian lady. And at one point he said, you know what? She's the light of my world. And I thought,
oops,
no, she's not.
Yeah.
And actually you're sounding romantic, but it's not loving to her to say something of her that you should only say of Christ.
Yeah.
Because he didn't put her on the earth to be the light of your world. He's already got that job. And it's putting a burden on her she's not designed to bear.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's wonderful when people feel that way about their spouses. But I just want to say, if you don't, ultimately, really, you're supposed to look to God. And if you want to be a great spouse to your spouse, look to God more than you look to your spouse. We'll be right back, folks. I'm talking to Sam Olbrey. Albin, I would like to talk about Relief Factor.
Sure, yeah.
But you know what? Even better than my talking about it, what about if we hear from Julia? Can we hear from Julia?
Yeah.
Is she here? Let's go.
I had pain in my hands that kept me from work and doing projects around the home. I heard about Relief Factor on the radio and began taking it, and it left me with pain-free hands again. I was able to do the things around the house that I enjoy doing. I'm so glad I found Relief Factor.
Okay, I got to say, Relief Factor was actually created by doctors who wanted a 100% drug-free supplement that could help your own body deal with inflammation and those aches and pains due to aging, exercise, whatever it is, which is why I take it. Look, you can do all kinds of stuff, but this is – it's very inexpensive. It's drug-free. It's safe. And within 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you. It works for most people. So check it out. It's ReliefFactor.com. Highly recommended, folks. ReliefFactor.com.
Freedom. One nation in all of human history was built on that bedrock. Ours. A republic of the people, by the people, and for the people. Self-government requires freedom, just as freedom requires an individual willingness to self-govern. Freedom has made America exceptional, but it can only last as long as you and I seek the good, as expressed by the laws of nature and nature's God. It can only last if you and I choose to act as people of character. Forging character has been the pursuit of Hillsdale College since 1844. Hillsdale College forges character and elevates civic discourse both on campus and nationwide. To find out how you can take their free online courses or receive a complimentary subscription to Imprimis, a monthly speech digest, visit hillsdalefreedom.com. That's hillsdalefreedom.com.
Do you hear that? That's the sound of conservatives winning the war on issues like gun rights, religious liberty, immigration law, and the sanctity of life. We use our cell phones every single day, so why not use them to make a change? Patriot Mobile does just that. They exist to donate a portion of your monthly bill to 17 conservative organizations fighting for your beliefs. And for the entire month of November, you can buy one line and get another line free for 12 months. Every day, people are switching their cell phone service to Patriot Mobile, and they love knowing their cell phone company supports conservative causes they believe in. Switching to Patriot Mobile is easy. You can keep your number, get the same super reliable nationwide service, and feel good about funding the right agendas with every call you make. With unlimited plans starting as low as $20 per month, why wait? Visit them online at patriotmobile.com or call them at 1-800-A-PATRIOT. Patriot Mobile. Come join the family.
You've wrestled with that issue for so long. You don't know who to talk to. You're too embarrassed to tell your friends or family what you're dealing with. You're even reluctant to talk to your pastor. I know. I was there too. But it got to a point that something had to change. And then I found Faithful Counseling. Faithful Counseling is a team of licensed Christian counselors who share your faith and will help you through your problem. They want to give you a free week just to try it out. You can begin a conversation when you're ready by text or phone, even video conferencing, from the comfort of your own home. And your first week is free. If it's not for you, you can cancel during your first week and not pay a dime. Why not give it a try? Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. Talk to someone who can help. Go right now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Let them help. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com.
It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Sam Albury. Sam, you are working on a book now about singleness, and because the book that we've talked about is called Is God Anti-Gay, but you're working on another book now, and you do a lot of traveling and speaking. If people want to find you, what website, where can they find you?
Probably the best place is rzim.org or rzim.org.
Wait a minute. Sorry. rzim.org. Org, Ravi Zacharias International Ministries.org. Just want to be clear.
That's right.
RZIM.org. And what brings you to New York, can you say?
I've been doing some work with City to City, the church planting network.
Of Redeemer. People know Redeemer through Tim Keller. Terrific.
So I've been doing some teaching for their. They have a global intensive for church planters across the world that come to New York for a few weeks. And just doing some other things with the church there as well, with some of the staff and leaders there.
That's wonderful. And where are you in the UK? Did I ask you that?
I'm in a town called Maidenhead, which is just outside Windsor. So out to the west of London.
Only England would have a town called Maidenhead. I love that.
I'm sure there are several Maidenheads in the US.
Very,
as well.
Very English. That's just, but that's incredible. And it's outside of Windsor, which is, how far is that from London now? I have to remember.
About 30 miles.
Right around the corner, isn't it?
Yeah, just down the road.
So so what do you do typically? Are you doing a lot of traveling around the UK and speaking?
I am, and I'm an itinerant speaker for Ravi Zacharias. So I do a lot of work on apologetics, writing, spend a lot of time in North America, but also further afield. So I've just got back from a trip to Australia, and then I was in Canada last weekend. So it's a great privilege. I get to see what God is doing in lots of different parts of the kingdom I wouldn't ordinarily come across, and get to work with a wide variety of churches as well. So it's never dull.
I have to ask you, and I spoke to Rosaria Butterfield about this, both of you take issue with the idea of Christians identifying as gay Christians. In other words, there's something about that strikes you as off. What is it about that? Because there was a conference recently where I think that was central to the conference, and I don't remember the details, but tell us about that.
Yeah, so for me, I think it's just bad anthropology. It is taking what is not a biblical category to start with anyway, i.e. this concept of a sexual orientation, and it's then making that a category of personhood that is akin to your race or something. So I think it's taking something that is temporal, which is your sexual feelings, and then making that the basis for your deepest sense of identity. And I think it's
interesting. That is very interesting. I see what you mean by that. It's an odd way to orient your entire life.
It is. And if I work backwards from the doctrine of the resurrection, when I'm resurrected from the dead, I'll be resurrected as a male. So my maleness is part of my eternal identity. When I'm resurrected from the dead, I won't be resurrected with the same sexual feelings I've experienced during my earthly life. Wonderfully. And so those feelings are not part of my eternal identity. They are a temporary fallen part of life in this world. And so I shouldn't locate my sense of who I am in those feelings. So as far as my sexual identity is concerned, biblically, I'm male.
So why do you think some Christians who believe, as we do, that sexual expression outside of a male-female marriage, they believe that that's wrong. Nonetheless, they want to identify as gay Christians. What do you think is making them do that? And I can't think of the name of the conference, but it was recent.
Revoice.
Yeah. The whole conference, I guess, was somehow about that. Why are they making that point, do we think?
I think, and I'm sure it will vary from person to person, I'm sure some of it is there will be some very deep experience, shared experience that they feel is so defining of who they've come to be, that other people who share that experience will feel to them as though, man, we're part of the same subspecies of humanity.
Right.
But I just love the fact that if we're Christian believers, not everything that describes us defines us. That's great news. And even if our sexual feelings run very deep, even if much of our life has been shaped by them, they are not who I am. They're part of what I feel for as long as I feel them, but they're not who I am. And that's good news, actually.
Well, it's interesting. And I know, because I know that Rosaria really took issue with that. And I'm trying to think who else I was speaking to. Christopher Yuan, is that?
Yes.
He also took issue with that. And it seems to be an important theological point, actually, which I never would have thought of it unless you all had pointed it out to me, that it is curious to identify that way. And I think probably some people are doing it in a more benign way.
Yeah, undoubtedly.
It's just sort of that, you know, this is something we're all struggling with. I mean, it's kind of like AA or something like that. You want to be around people who know what it is to deal with certain things, you know, and to deal with that with the same-sex attraction. Of course, it's something that you want to feel you have a support group and stuff. But I, I, I see that point.
And I'm sure for believers who come to faith out of a gay background, that will be their default terminology.
Yeah.
But I hope as they go on in Christian maturity and discipleship, they'll begin to reorder how they think of identity.
Well, it's interesting because I've often, you know, caught friends, many times Christians, saying, "Oh, is so-and-so gay?" or so. And I thought, well, wait a minute. Because someone has an attraction doesn't make them gay. If you pursue that attraction, I mean, it's like saying, have I ever had an adulterous attraction? Yes. Does that make me an adulterer? If I know it's wrong and I resist it completely, as soon as it comes into my mind, I say, no, that's not good. That's bad. Then am I an adulterer? That's like saying that just because you have an attraction, you are that thing. Yeah. And that is very odd because most heterosexual men at one time or another desire someone to whom they're not married. And you think, well, that doesn't make you an adulterer or a fornicator. If you pursue it in your mind, then you're moving in that direction. But the idea that somebody just because they are maybe they're effeminate or maybe they have that attraction, you say, well, they're gay, but they're just not living it. Then you say, well, wait a minute. Then what? Why are they gay? Just because you say so? That's not quite right. We're going to be right back, folks, talking to Sam Albury. This is the Eric Metaxas Show, MetaxasTalk.com.
Are you more than $10,000 in debt? Feel like you're on a never-ending treadmill, staying in one place and never getting ahead with those minimum payments? You feel like there's no way out? Don't let the credit card companies bully you anymore. There are programs in place to help you get free of your debt, and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. The program at Total Financial Freedom can help you get debt-free in months instead of decades. Get off the debt treadmill and stop the harassment. Get free of credit card debt, signature loans, department store cards, internet loans, and medical bills. Call now at 866-844-7344 for free information. For about 10 years, Total Financial Freedom has helped thousands. They're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, too. Get off the endless cycle without having to declare bankruptcy. You'll have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Call Total Financial now at 866-844-7344. That's 866-844-7344.
Hey guys, Ken here from the hit podcast, Today's Growth. Who would win a 3-mile bicycle race, an 11-year-old girl or last year's winner of the Tour de France? It all depends on the bicycle. It depends on their vehicle. Both on a 10-speed and the pro racer is going to win every time. But put the racer on a tricycle and the 11-year-old wins every time. You see, it's not the driver, it's the vehicle. When it comes to generating revenue, it's exactly the same. If you have a job or a small business, you are riding a tricycle. You can only go so fast. If you need to make up lost ground, it's not going to happen on a tricycle. No matter how fast you pedal, it's simply not going to win the race. Why do many people with no schooling and no advanced degree often become very wealthy? Simple. They choose to only ride 10 speeds. When it comes to helping people create their next revenue model, both Forbes and Inc. recommend IncomeStore as a can't-miss when it comes to putting people on a 10-speed. Could your household or business use an additional revenue model that doesn't solely depend on you? If so, you need to check out IncomeStore.com. That's IncomeStore.com.
This is the Eric Metaxas Show. A little Christine McVie for you. We're talking to Sam Albury, who is with Ravi Zacharias International Ministries. If you want to find out more, go to rzim.org. As you say in the UK, rzim.org. Do you say that?
We do say that.
You say rzim?
We do. Of course, that very inflection.
Of course.
R-Z.
R-Z. Well, of course, it's R-Z-I-M. Everybody knows that. Okay. Well, listen, you've got a book coming out on singleness. Before we go, tell us a little bit about what people can look forward to in this next book.
Yeah, it's called Seven Myths About Singleness, and it's really a book trying to help people understand where we've misunderstood singleness. So, again, our culture will say singleness is just bad for you. If you're sexually abstinent, it's just awful. So trying to recover what it means for singleness to be a good thing, what Paul means by talking about the gift of singleness, the ways in which the Bible shows that we can have healthy, deep intimacy that has nothing to do with sex and romance, and that we don't need to put all of our eggs in the basket of romantic fulfillment. So, and just helping the church to think through what it means to be family, what it means to be community, and that kind of thing as well.
Well, it's very, very important because so many people are single, and often they're made to believe that they're missing out on something, which is just a lie from the pit of hell where all lies come from. But it's important that we have a robust theology of singleness, because otherwise people really do buy the cultural lie.
They do. And it's easy to feel as though life hasn't started yet because I'm not yet in a relationship or married. And interestingly, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, the one thing we do miss out on if we're single is, he says, certain trials. And he said, I would spare you these. So,
isn't that funny? Well, I talk to anybody who's married. I mean, the idea that marriage is, you know, like a absolutely wonderful in every way. I mean, my goodness, because of how serious marriage is and how intimate it is, it can be so painful.
Yeah.
And so many people that I know, Albin's wife is the worst. Albin, am I right? No, but in all seriousness, that Albin was cracking a joke. He said that, you know, when you said that woman said that my wife is the light of my life, and Albin said it's true. It's just that she's only about a 40-watt bulb, right? Albin, did you say that? No, you see that the reality though is that anybody who's married knows that marriage can be very painful and very tough. But, you know, you don't hear about that. Right. You just hear about that. Oh, it's this thing that happens and then it's over. It's happily ever after. No, no, no. It's really, it can be very difficult. And you don't want to go through that unless God has called you to go through it.
Exactly. And we compare the ups of marriage with the downs of singleness and forget that there are ups of singleness and downs of marriage. And we mustn't think marriage is the solution to all the problems of singleness. It's just exchanging one set of problems for a different set.
Right. Well, Sam, really a joy to meet you in person here. And we'll have to have you back. Just continue the conversation. When your book on singleness comes out, we've got to talk about that. But thank you so much for being my guest and stopping by.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Folks, it's MetaxasTalk.com. That's the website. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. Tell your friends.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.